Well, Saints, we come to message two of our conference, and I'm so glad that the brothers included in the outlines for this conference a message such as message two. Keeping the oneness of the body and practicing the one accord in the Lord's move. Of course, in this entire conference, we're talking about the Lord's move, and in particular, His move in the United States for His move on the whole earth. And we need to realize that whenever we touch the matter of the Lord's move, there's always some danger that we will be stirred up in a natural way, that our zeal will be ignited, and that we may act even with a good intention. We may act apart from the body, and we may act outside of the one accord in the Lord's move. So in the first outline, our brother shared with us the importance of the United States and the need to spread all the divine truths as the complete gospel for the building up of the body as the preparation of the bride. We have to remember that this is the commission that the Lord has given us in His recovery. It's not merely the so-called Great Commission to spread the gospel of salvation to all the nations. It includes that. But we have another commission, which is we are here to spread the interpreted divine truths as the complete gospel, not only for man's salvation, but for the building up of the body, which results in the preparation of the bride, which is the very thing that will consummate this age and bring the Lord back. We believe that the Lord is doing this in His recovery. We believe He has always wanted to do this in His recovery. And perhaps now is the time that we can give Him the adequate cooperation to do this. You know, in the time that I have been in the recovery, I've seen different moves, different activities, some of which I believed at the time were perhaps the final move of the Lord to consummate this age. But in many cases, what was missing is what we have in this message. And I believe that the recovery today is at another stage where we are not here as heroes. We're not here as people with a towering kind of gift or a daring disposition to make some exploits. No, we have learned, I think collectively we have learned, that the kind of move that the Lord can bless, the kind of move that has power, the kind of move that has impact, the kind of move that invites the Lord's blessing, is a move that is in the body and for the body, and that practices the one accord in the Lord's move. So that's what we'd like to fellowship in this second meeting. And I'm going to cover the first half of this outline, and then Brother Ted Williamson will complete the message. with the remainder of the outline. So I won't be speaking too long. I think we should get right into the outline. You have two main points here in this outline: the oneness and the one accord. It might sound like these are synonyms, and many people would consider them to be the same thing, but I have to tell you, actually, the oneness and the one accord, although they are very, very closely related, they're not exactly the same thing. Let's begin by defining what we mean by oneness. The oneness is the mingling of the triune God with his believers. And this oneness is also the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is the mingling of the processed and consummated triune God with his believers. Now let's come back to what I said a moment ago about the commission of the recovery. The commission of the recovery is to preach the complete gospel for the building up of this body and the preparation of the bride. Now you can realize how critical it is. Since the oneness is this body, if we intend to carry out this commission, we have to take care of the oneness, and we have to take care of the one accord. Otherwise, there will be no way for the Lord to gain that. There have been a lot of moves, a lot of gospel activities, even some prevailing ones in church history. There have been revivals. There have been very gifted evangelists. None of those reached the goal. All of them increased the number of believers. All of them brought men to salvation, but not one of them accomplished a work that would consummate God's economy in this age. Firstly, I would say most of those works didn't have this vision, so they didn't actually have this goal. But secondly, I would also say none of those works were in the oneness of the body and by practicing the one accord in the Lord's move. And sorry to say, that includes our history up until the present time. So the oneness is actually an attribute of the body of Christ. It's an organic attribute of the body, just like oneness is an attribute of the triune God. In fact, you can say that oneness is the main or top attribute of the triune God. In the same way, we would have to say oneness is the top attribute of the body of Christ. So how could we build up the body of Christ apart from the oneness? It would be impossible. But oneness as an organic attribute of the body might be a little abstract to us. So there's another phrase that appears in the New Testament that we need to pay attention to in this message, and that is the one accord. And we'll get into this in the outline. But right now, let me say this. The one accord is the practice of the oneness. It is the actuality of the oneness. It's the application of the oneness. Yes, because we are the body of Christ, organically, we have this attribute of oneness. But we all know this oneness is an attribute of the body. It needs to be worked out. It needs to be practiced in the church life. needs to be practiced in our service. It needs to be practiced in our gospel. It needs to be practiced in our migration. It needs to be practiced in every area of the practical church life. So these are the two key points that I will share, the oneness and the one accord. Let's begin with the matter of oneness. Roman numeral 1 says, the oneness is the triune God mingled with all his believers. And this oneness is also the body of Christ. How do you like this definition? I don't think you can find this definition anywhere else. Actually, perhaps it's two definitions or two parts of one definition. What is oneness? Oneness is not compromise. Oneness is not political agreement. Oneness is not ecumenical movement. No, oneness, real oneness, according to John 17. It's the most important chapter if we're going to understand what the oneness of the believers actually is. We must know John 17. Oneness is the oneness of the triune God himself. Within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, there is a kind of co-inhering oneness. And when this triune God is mingled with us as the believers, we enter into him. He enters into us, and that oneness, which is the triune God himself, becomes the oneness of the body of Christ. So if we are in the body, we have this oneness. A says in the New Testament, the first time that the oneness among the believers is mentioned is in John 17. Of course, later on, especially in Paul's epistles, we see it over and over again, especially in Ephesians. But it began with John 17, and it began not as a teaching about oneness. It's very interesting. It began with a prayer, with an aspiration in the Lord's heart for the oneness of his believers. In that chapter, John 17, oneness is covered by the Lord in his prayer. In verses 20 through 21, the Lord prayed that all the believers would be one in us. He was praying to the Father that the believers would be one in us. That us is the triune God. That is, in the divine Trinity, this is the genuine oneness. We have to start here. If we don't see this, we may substitute something else for the genuine oneness. We have to be very clear that when we speak about oneness, we're speaking about the oneness that is revealed in John 17. Now, C says, this oneness is also the body of Christ. Why? Because the body of Christ is the mingling of the processed and consummated triune God with his believers. And where do we see this? Where can we see in the New Testament that oneness is the body of Christ? We can see it in Ephesians 4 through 6. In Ephesians 4, Paul mentions 10 great critical ones, including the one body and the one Spirit. Eventually, the body is the oneness, and the oneness is the body. So in that chapter, in Ephesians 4, it says to walk worthily of God's calling, to have the proper body life, we first need to care for the oneness. This is crucial and vital to the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are not here merely to stir you up for some kind of move, for some kind of migration, for some kind of gospel activity. We are here, hopefully, at a stage in the Lord's recovery when he could have a good number of believers who see the body, who know the body, who care for the body, who live in the body, and who serve in the body. Only this kind of service is going to build up the body of Christ and consummate the age, complete God's economy, and bring the Lord back to earth. Now we come to Roman numeral 2 to consider the second item, which is the one accord. This is not an easy matter to define. In fact, oneness is difficult enough to define. Now we have this matter of one accord, and how do we define it? Well, here it says the genuine one accord is the genuine practice of the oneness. You know, we all know that the body of Christ is one. That's not just a theory. It's a fact. It's a divine reality. But there has to be a practice that reflects that divine reality. For example, we have the practice of the ground of locality, the ground of the church. That is a practice that actualizes the divine reality, the divine fact in our practice. Well, the one accord is the practice of the oneness. And you could say it this way, the oneness is the basis for our practice of the one accord. If there were no one accord, if there were no oneness in reality as the body of Christ, there's no basis for us to practice the one accord. But because the body is one, we can have a practice that reflects and applies that divine reality. Okay, A says, we need to see that these are two crucial matters in the New Testament that we all need to pay attention to, the oneness and the one accord. The oneness is revealed in Ephesians 4. The one accord is mentioned in Romans 15, 5 and 6, that with one accord and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before I read through the rest of the outline, let me tell you that there are two words in the New Testament that refer to the one accord, and they're here on the outline, and we will read it, but let me introduce it a little bit first. The first Greek word that refers to one accord is symphoneo. That's talked about in Matthew 18:19. It's where we get our English word symphony. It means to make the same sound, to harmonize, to say the same thing. That's that harmony is a kind of one accord It's not as literal as the second word, but it's very meaningful. Our one accord, especially in our prayer, is music to God's ears. We'll come back to this. The second Greek word, also shown on the outline, is a more literal translation of the English phrase one accord, homothumadon. Homo means one, thumadon means mind, will, purpose, soul, or heart. And it implies a very passionate and strong feeling within. So, as a strong kind of purpose. Well, I find it very interesting. This second word, homothumadon, is only mentioned 11 times in the entire New Testament. 10 of them are in the book of Acts. The only other verse that uses this word is Romans 15:5, which we've already quoted. This is very, very meaningful. Saints, the book of Acts is a book on propagation and migration. The book of Acts is a book on the propagation of the ascended Christ in his ascension by the Spirit through the disciples for the producing of the churches as the kingdom of God. That's exactly what we're talking about in this conference. So this book of Acts very, very strongly emphasizes this point of the one accord. And they had it. They had it. You see it especially beginning in Acts chapter 2 as the issue of their prayer in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, they had prevailing prayer, prayer in one accord, which brought in the economical spirit, brought in the power, brought in the impact, brought in the blessing. And we know from the book of Acts, a big factor of their one accord included their continuing steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. You know, I used to think that the prevailing gospel in Acts was mainly due to the beginning of the New Testament age as a kind of initiation. Maybe the Lord did something special. Now I'm not so sure. I think it was the one accord. The one accord brought in the blessing, and then the one accord was lost. That's why it's not mentioned again in the rest of the New Testament. It was lost. And it was lost before you even reached the end of the book of Acts. Brothers and sisters, this is the church life. This is the Lord's move that he wants to recover among us, not only the oneness of the body, but the practice of the one accord. Okay, now I can read on. As we practice the genuine one accord, we must know the church as the unique body of Christ, which is one in essence, one in doctrine, and one in practice. Essentially, intrinsically, we are one. What we teach is one. We continue in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, and what we practice is one. This is the one accord. Oneness is like the body, and the one accord is like the heart within the body. Oneness is also like the shell, the outward shell of a nut, and the one accord is like the kernel within that shell. Now here are the two Greek words in Matthew 18:19. The Greek word symphoneo is used for the one accord. You know, and it's used especially in relation to the matter of prayer. The prayer of the believers, even the prayer meeting of the church, it's a real indicator of whether there is one accord or not in the church. I have been in prayer meetings in many localities around the earth. I was in one prayer meeting in a certain place. Everybody was praying outwardly for the same thing, but there was no one accord. The prayers of some of the people in that meeting were intended to cancel out the prayers of others in that meeting, even though they were ostensibly praying for the same thing. We've all seen this. Real prayer in one accord is not easy, and that's what will bring in the one accord in the Lord's move. In Matthew 18:19, the Greek word symphoneo is used for the one accord. This word means to be in harmony or accord and refers to the harmonious sound of musical instruments or voices. Oh, may our prayer meetings be a harmonious symphony to God. Eventually, the one accord or the harmony of inward feeling among the believers becomes like a melody, like music. When we have the one accord in the eyes of God, we become a melody to Him. Such a one accord is the nucleus of the oneness. In Acts 1:14, and I told you nine other verses in the book of Acts, another Greek word, homothumadon, is used for the one accord. Homothumadon is strong and all-inclusive. Homo means the same, and thumos means mind, will, purpose, soul, and heart. This word denotes a harmony of inward feeling in one's entire being. Brothers and sisters, how could we have that? We could only have that if both you and I and a good number of other saints are mingled with the triune God Himself, who is the oneness of the body of Christ. I'm going to stop my sharing here, and Brother Ted will now complete the message.
Well, let's continue on with this message to outline, brothers and sisters, and we'll pick up where our brother Mark ended. This outline begins with a genuine oneness. And genuine oneness is defined as the mingling of the processed and consummated triune God with His believers. And the second definition, which I really enjoyed, was that oneness is the body of Christ, because the body is the mingling of the processed and consummated triune God with the believers. So thank the Lord for this matter of oneness. And I believe our brother opened this matter very clearly. Strictly speaking, the oneness is not of the church. It is of the body. Oneness is of the body. In Ephesians 4, Paul encourages us to keep the oneness of the Spirit. But then he does not say one church, one Spirit. He says one body, one Spirit. When we touch the matter of the body, oneness is what matters. Oneness is the primary attribute of the body. But when we come to the churches, unlike the matter of the body, the churches can be plural. Yes, there's an aspect of the universal church, which is the oneness of the church, but there's also the aspect of there are many churches. But we would never say there are many bodies of Christ. That just doesn't even sound right, much less not being scriptural. There is one body of Christ, but there are many churches. So when we come to the matter of the body, we need oneness. But when we come to the matter of the churches, and the relationship even among the churches, there is something else that is needed, and that is the working out, the practice of the oneness of the body, and that is the one accord. So let's go on and pick up then Roman numeral 3, which is where our brother ended. And I'll read Roman numeral 3. The one accord is the base, the ground for our present practice in the Lord's move. And let's read A altogether. If we mean business with the Lord's recovery, and if we mean business with His present day up-to-date move, we must first take care of this one thing, the one accord. Now I'll read B and C. The matter of being in one accord in the New Testament occupies a very crucial stand for the Lord's move. No other book of the Bible speaks of the one accord as much as Acts. I appreciate our brother Mark giving us the fellowship that in the New Testament, the Greek word for one accord is used 11 times. And 10 of those times are in the book of Acts. And actually, as we consider this, it makes a lot of sense why that is the case. And that is because in the book of Acts, we know what the subject is of the book of Acts. Thankfully, we have a recovery version and we have an outline and there's a subject at the beginning of that outline. And the subject of the book of Acts is simply the propagation of the resurrected Christ in His ascension through His disciples for the producing of churches, the kingdom of God. What a marvelous phrase we have, a marvelous encapsulation of the entire book of Acts. But brothers, the key to the propagation in the book of Acts was the one accord. There's a landmark in Acts between that separates Acts from the Gospels. And if you'd ask me, what's that landmark? I think I would have said it's the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost. Well, Brother Lee was quite clear in his ministry saying, no, the landmark, what separates, what distinguishes Acts from the Gospels is the one accord. The one accord of 120 brothers and sisters praying together in one mind, with one spirit, one purpose, one will for the Lord's move on the earth. This unlocked the entire, well, certainly it released the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost and then facilitated the Lord's move throughout the book of Acts. So this is a very crucial point in understanding the matter of the one accord. It has everything to do with the propagation of the resurrected Christ. Now, I don't know if it's too much to say this, but if we're not concerned about propagation, if we're not concerned about the spread, if we're not concerned about churches being raised up, well, possibly oneness is enough. You're in your locality. I'm in my locality. We appreciate the oneness in the body. We enjoy the oneness. We are one. Actually, it has been worked out. We've been baptized into the body. And we love oneness. We're one with each other in actuality. But when it comes to the Lord's move and touching and participating in the Lord's move, well, then we have a different story. We realize we need more than just oneness. What we need is the one accord. We need one mind. We need one will, one thought, one mouth, one purpose to carry out the Lord's move, present move on the earth. Okay. Well, let's keep going in the reading. In the book of Acts, the 120 pray together in one mind. This is number one under, what is that? I think that is under C. In the book of Acts, the 120 pray together in one mind, in the same will, with the same purpose around and within the soul and the heart. And here that's the verse. Acts 1:14 is about the 120 praying together. You have a wonderful hymn, 779, pray with one accord in spirit, not according to our thought. Amen. Number two, the book of Acts begins with the one accord and stresses the one accord. The early disciples could not have maintained or kept the one accord. However, if they had different ways, means, agents, or substances for them to carry out the Lord's move on this earth. D. Now we come to a crucial need today. We must see that the crucial need today in the recovery is the one accord. The one accord is the master key to unlock every blessing in the New Testament. What a marvelous thing. We have the key, brothers and sisters. There is a key, first off, to realize there's a key to unlock all the blessings in the Lord's move. Number one, in the army, the impact is the morale. The morale in the army is the one accord. So brothers and sisters, number two says we have many good teachings. We have the ground of the church. We have all the divine provisions, but our morale is the problem. And our brother Lee spoke very frankly on this point to us, to the recovery, saying, you don't realize, but you are sick. You have a sickness. And the sickness is you don't have the one accord adequately. And it's a sickness not on the outside that you can see. It's a sickness in our heart. Oh, Lord, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, heal us of this sickness. Really heal us. Let's keep going on. So D, number three. Without the one accord, it is difficult to get people saved, converted, and regenerated by the dynamic salvation of God. As we practice the one accord, we must learn to be in the same one spirit and to have the same one soul. Philippians 1:27 starts with our spirit. Stand firm in one spirit with one soul. And the footnote is quite striking. Our brother, I can't quote it exactly, but our brother says something to the effect that it is much more difficult for us to stand together with one soul for the gospel than to stand together in one spirit for the experience of Christ. Wow, that's enlightening. Okay, five, as we practice the one accord, we must be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, I love these phrases that our brother Paul used related to the one accord. You all speak the same thing, attuned in the same mind, and in the same opinion. How intimate, how deep, how inward is this kind of a one accord? Much more than just an outward agreement on strategy. This is something inward. Philippians 2:2, think the same thing. Think the same thing. Joined in soul, thinking the one thing. And then in 4:2, think the same thing in the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, you know what? As deep as this is, I believe we've actually touched this, at least in a way, in a maybe a foretaste way in the last few years. And what comes to me is our experience with the Lord's move to Germany. This was quite an encouragement, I think, to all of us when the Lord began to awaken us in the recovery to His need and the how crucial Germany is for the sake of all of Europe in the Lord's move. And of course, the world situation came together and migrants started flooding into Europe, headed for Germany. And so this really prompted us to respond to the Lord's move there. But what was so amazing to me, and I think to many of us, was what the Lord could do in Germany when there is a one accord among the churches and among the saints and among the co-workers and the elders, where we came together as in one and we prayed. You, for years, you could not go to, it didn't matter what locality you went to. They were praying for Germany. Many still are. I know we still are praying for Germany. But all the churches were together in one spirit, with one mind, one will, one soul, praying for the Lord's move in Germany. And that one accord even sustained the prayer for Germany. Not only that, there was, besides the praying, there was the giving. There was a need for meeting halls. There was a need to support full-timers. And the churches poured out. And there was migration for Germany. And I remember when this came up among the co-workers, and one of the brothers proposed that the United States send 70 full-timers to Germany. And I thought, 70? There's no way we're going to have 70 full-timers move to Germany. I mean, that's a different country, a different language, a different culture, different laws. Everything's different. That's a big move. That's not moving down the street here. That is huge. And we had a strategy then of said, we divided the country up into 7 regions, and every region had the goal of sending 10 to Germany. Well, brothers and sisters, you know the outcome. Just to remind you, we sent 150 full-timers to Germany from the United States. How did this happen? I believe we touched the one accord. We really did. We touched it in our prayer, we touched it in our giving, and we touched it in our going. Well, right in, on the heels of this kind of fellowship, the Lord began to move, particularly among the co-workers, related to this country, our country, the USA, realizing that the spread of the churches has been too slow. The churches have been in the United States for over 50 years. And the spread, although there's been spread and new churches have come up and still come up, it's very slow. And not only that, but just the increase, the rate of increase in the Lord's recovery in the United States has been too low. It's been too low. There's been increase. There's been increase off the campus, thank the Lord, but it's been low. So brothers, we begin to consider this in light of Germany. What if all the churches in the United States, what if all the leading brothers, all the co-workers came together in one accord? One accord that's based on the oneness of the body of Christ. And we practice this one accord with one mind, one heart, one mouth. And we begin to pray for this country, for the Lord's spread in this country. And we begin to give for the Lord's spread. And we begin to go, we migrate for the Lord's move in our own country. What could the Lord accomplish in this country that He's never been able to do because we haven't had the adequate one accord in the recovery in the United States? Well, brothers, we've labored on this matter, we're praying about this matter, and we feel like now is the time. Now is the time. And you know, it's interesting, as this burden was developing, many things begin to rise up against this kind of a burden in the world situation. And even within the recovery itself, there was an uprising online over a year ago, mainly of our own young people. And it wasn't an attack on the truth in the Lord's recovery or even the practice of the Lord's recovery. It was actually an attack, the enemy's attack. We were not fighting against flesh and blood. The enemy's attack against the one accord to place doubts about the leadership in the recovery, doubts with the co-workers, doubts on the eldership, doubts on their motives, their intentions. This was satanic. This was absolutely from the pit of hell. This was not a person was behind this. This was something where the enemy himself was instigating some to rise up. And this stumbled a number of our young people, a number of the young adults. Just a small little doubt began to rise up in them about the recovery and about the one accord. Can we trust this, the recovery? Can we really give ourselves to this? Oh, brothers and sisters, this was the enemy's attack for sure. And then, just as all this is being resolved and being cleared up, because nothing that was said was new, it was old, it had been addressed long ago, what happens? We have a pandemic. I never even heard of the word a pandemic until we were in one. And suddenly we have this global pandemic, and everything kind of shuts down. Work shuts down, school shuts down, and to a certain extent, the church life was altered. And so you look at all these things, and then you have the right on the heels of this, the social unrest, the racial tensions in this country became inflamed. So there was the temptation to say, is now really the time for the Lord's move in this country? Do we need to slow down? Do we need to reconsider that this just isn't the right time? Well, brothers and sisters, the more we prayed, which we pray at least twice a week, a group of brothers from around the country pray and fellowship regarding the Lord's move, we begin to realize, no, this is not the time to step back. Yes, there's an enemy, and yes, he attacks, but this is not the time to step back. This is the time to advance the Lord's recovery in the United States. It's time. Now is the best time. And can give you, I can't get into the details of why we even feel that way, but this is the best time to go forward. And we were so encouraged by a verse in Daniel that those who know their God show strength and take action. Brothers and sisters, this is the time to show strength. It's the time to take action for the Lord's move in this country. And the way we do that, first of all, is through the one accord. We must have the one accord in our prayer, in our giving, in our going, that we'd have the same mind, the same heart, the same thought, the same words, the same purpose for the Lord's advance in this country. So thank the Lord for this conference where we have an opportunity to clearly sound the trumpet that the Lord is moving in the United States today. We are not waiting. We're not waiting for COVID to go away. We're not waiting for the economy to get better. It's time, brothers and sisters. It's time. Okay, I need to wrap this up. So let's go to E. We need to maintain the one accord by prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. These are the factors. These are the factors for the spreading of the gospel. Prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. And our brother Lee, he's so frank with us when he shares these matters. He said, if you take anything else as your factor, you're taking a gimmick. And that with every gimmick, there are side effects. That prayer, the Spirit, and the Word are the only factors that we hold on to. And with them, there's no side effects. Hallelujah for this. One, in order to maintain the unique one accord, we all have to learn to do the same thing by the same way. The substances which constitute the unique way for the Lord's move are prayer and the Spirit, which result in the Word. It's really Acts 4 says they were filled in the Spirit, and then they begin to speak the Word. Okay, number two. In Acts, the three main factors for the spreading of the gospel as an impact were prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. The one accord is the key and the life pulse. The one accord is the key and the life pulse of prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. How do we maintain our prayer? We're not very good at persevering in prayer. How do we maintain our prayer? It's in the one accord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Okay, F, the teaching of the apostles was the holding factor of the one accord. If we limit ourselves to the apostles' teaching, the teaching concerning God's New Testament economy, we will be kept in oneness. Amen. And we'll have one way for one goal. Let me now read you just two quotes. G, for the Lord's recovery to spread on the earth, there cannot be any opinions. And everyone must be in one accord. The most important today is the oneness. Everyone needs to be in one accord to blow one trumpet and accept one leadership. Then the last point is on the blending. I'm not going to read those points, but I'll jump down to number five and read the last quote. Whoever feels burdened and willing to take this new way, let us go on together. Amen. Brothers, if you're burdened and you're willing, let's go on together. I want to stir up myself and I want to stir up all of you. Let us go the way of ones. One God, one Lord, one Spirit, one Christ, one body, one church, one testimony, one work, one teaching, one leadership, and one accord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll end here. Amen.